As a consensus system without central authority, Bitcoin protocol upgrades can be challenging. If one segment of the network upgrades to a new version of the protocol before another segment does, different nodes might enforce different rules, introducing the risk that the network fractures between them. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. Taproot is so close, but there is a final debate, a final hurdle to tackle before we can get to see it activated on the network. And that is what today's episode is about. How and when to flip the switch. The author today is Aaron Von Wertham from Bitcoin Magazine, an excellent writer who has so many brilliant breakdowns of the technical and historical elements and eras of Bitcoin. I'm just going to link to Aaron's author page in the show notes just because there's just too many great pieces to mention. You should just read and or listen to all of them. So with that, a quick thank you to our wonderful sponsors before we jump in. Level.co, LVL.co, mobile banking. Why would you want a bank that was confused or suspicious when you used or talked about Bitcoin? Wouldn't you want one that just lets you hold or buy right within your account? If so, you want to check out Level. But to hold the keys to your deep stack, you want the coldest storage possible. Descended from the Swiss Alps, the Bitbox O2 is the simple, secure, open source hardware wallet that thou doth seek. And to filleth thy Bitbox cold storage, it is best to do so daily, weekly, or monthly, and of course, automatically, with swanbitcoin.com/guy, some free sats to start you off with my ref link, and then the least hassle, lowest fee automated Bitcoin savings plan that you can find. Check all of them out at guyswan.com with two N's. So now, let's talk about turning on Taproot. Our 502nd read is titled, Lot True or False? This is the Last Hurdle Before Taproot Activation, by Aaron Von Wertham. The discussion around lot equals true and lot equals false remains the final hurdle in Taproot activation. So what's the difference and why is it important? The discussion on Taproot activation appears to have reached its final stage, with the remaining decision revolving around the activation parameter LOT, L-O-T. The code for Taproot, a proposed Bitcoin protocol upgrade for compact and privacy-preserving smart contracts, has been included in the most recent version of Bitcoin Core, currently the de facto reference implementation for the Bitcoin protocol. The only remaining step is for the upgrade to activate on the Bitcoin network. But as a consensus system without central authority, Bitcoin protocol upgrades can be challenging. If one segment of the network upgrades to a new version of the protocol before another segment does, different nodes might enforce different rules, introducing the risk that the network fractures between them. A soft fork upgrade, which Taproot is backwards compatible to minimize this risk. As long as a majority of miners by hash power enforce the new rules, both upgraded and non-upgraded nodes accept their version of the blockchain. Upgraded nodes because the new rules are properly enforced, and non-upgraded nodes because none of the legacy rules are being broken. Several of Bitcoin's previous soft forks have therefore been deployed by leveraging hash power as a coordination mechanism, which is referred to as a miner activated soft fork, or MASF. Once usually 95% of newly mined blocks included a bit that signaled readiness, all upgraded nodes would start enforcing the new rules. if this threshold wouldn't be met within usually a year, the upgrade would instead expire. In 2017, the Segregated Witness, or SegWit, MASF Minor Activated Soft Fork got close to expiring in the midst of a heated scaling debate. Miners refused to signal readiness for the upgrade. In response, a grassroots group of users and some developers released a special Bitcoin software client, the BIP-148 client. The BIP-148 client would activate SegWit on a given date even if there was insufficient hash power support to meet the original 95% threshold, an upgrade mechanism referred to as a user-activated soft fork, or UASF. Right before the SegWit UASF would activate, miners started signaling readiness. Now, about 4 years later, the events around SegWit activation have spurred a new discussion on soft fork activation in the context of the Taproot upgrade. This discussion is in a small part about the hash power threshold and duration of the activation period, but these seem to have mostly settled on 90% and 1 year respectively, which the remainder of this article will also assume. The last remaining point of contention is about the lock-in on timeout, LOT, or LOT, parameter, which can be set on either true, LOT equals true, or false, LOT equals false. What are LOT true and LOT false? The mechanics of both the LOT true and LOT false options are straightforward. In either case, miners have a year to activate Taproot through hash power signaling. If within that year 90% of hash power signals support for the upgrade, Taproot ready nodes will start enforcing the new rules. The difference lies in what happens if, when the year is up, miners have not signaled for activation. In the case of LOT false, the activation simply expires, like a regular MASF. At that point, Taproot would not have activated, and nodes continue to use the current Bitcoin protocol without Taproot. A new activation period could then be scheduled, this time presumably using LOT equals true. In the case of LOT true, the activation wouldn't expire. Instead, like a UASF or user-activated soft fork, nodes in the final weeks of the activation period start rejecting blocks that don't signal for Taproot activation. When only blocks that signal readiness for Taproot are accepted, the activation threshold will necessarily be reached, assuming, of course, that Taproot signaling blocks are mined at all. There is actually a little bit more nuance to this process because a small number of non-signaling blocks would still be allowed, but that's a technical detail and not very important in the context of this article. The main argument in favor of LOT true is that LOT false would give miners a quote veto on the upgrade. They could block Taproot activation by refusing to signal readiness, even when there is broad consensus for the upgrade. During the SegWit activation period, it appeared that this veto was being leveraged by miners in an attempt to influence Bitcoin protocol development. LOT false proponents, however, argue that this veto isn't really a veto at all, since it can be overruled. In the end, miners cannot block Taproot activation because users can always upgrade to LOT true clients, even if they initially used LOT false. This can be done in two main ways. Either users switch to LOT true clients before the activation period is over, that is, before the end of the year, or, as already mentioned, they can wait until the activation period is over and schedule a new activation period. Proponents of LOT true, however, point out that these two different options to overrule the veto could be another recipe for community conflict. If, say, 6 months into the activation period, miners haven't signaled support for the upgrade, one segment of users may prefer to deploy LOT true clients before the year is over, while another segment may prefer to wait until after the first activation period before deploying a new activation mechanism. This would essentially reintroduce the current debate between LOT false and LOT true, but this time with only 6 months to resolve the issue. This is easily avoided, Lot True proponents figure, by simply not giving miners a sort of veto in the first place. But there are arguments in favor of Lot False and against Lot True as well. For one, Lot False more closely resembles the activation mechanics of previous soft forks, most of which rolled out fairly well. While the SegWit upgrade wasn't as smooth, Lot False proponents argue this was due to exceptional circumstances of the scaling wars, which are now behind us. Some Lot True proponents, however, believe that Lot False might invite such circumstances again. Second, given that most mining pools have indicated support for the Taproot upgrade, Lot False is likely to do the job without it ever coming to a timeout scenario. This makes Lot True unnecessary. Lot True proponents instead argue that stated intentions shouldn't be a factor in designing a technical upgrade mechanism, and that Lot True would best align incentives to ensure that miners indeed upgrade before the end of the year. Third, in the unlikely scenario that a problem with Taproot is found, Lot False makes it easy to back out of the upgrade. Miners would simply refrain from signaling readiness, and the proposal would expire without requiring users to upgrade their software again. Lot True proponents believe Taproot is well-reviewed and shouldn't be up for activation in the first place if that weren't the case. And even if a problem is found after all, it should be relatively easy to diffuse Taproot activation through technical means. Fourth, Lot True could feed into the perception that Bitcoin Core developers have the power to change the Bitcoin protocol. Since Lot True would, quote, guarantee Taproot activation, their code would, quote, force this change of the protocol rules. This perception could attract unwanted attention towards developers. This perception would be mostly false, as also pointed out by proponents of Lot True. In the end, users would need to voluntarily choose to adopt the new Bitcoin Core software. Developers can ship code, but they can't make users run it. Most Lot False proponents agree, but argue that the perception of developer power might be there regardless, and that perception alone might be harmful enough, even if wrong. But probably most importantly, the fifth argument for Lot False and against Lot True is that Lot True could, in some scenarios, result in an unstable network and perhaps even a split in the blockchain. This could lead to a loss of funds for users and miners and undermine trust in the Bitcoin project altogether. Lot True proponents, however, argue that it's the other way around, and Lot False in Bitcoin Core would represent the greater risk of this scenario unfolding. To understand this discrepancy, let's look at some scenarios. What if there is no network consensus on Lot? If there is consensus on either Lot True or Lot False, that is, all nodes on the network use one or the other, the scenarios are straightforward. In either case, Taproot would probably activate during the activation period. If not, the upgrade would activate by the end of the year in the case of Lot True, and miners would have little choice but to accept this. Else, they would mine blocks that the network rejects and they'd be wasting their hash power. Or in the case of Lot False, the proposal would expire and a new activation period would be deployed, this time presumably using Lot True. Unless consensus already shifted to Lot True before the end of the activation period, in which case, Taproot would also activate before the year is over. It becomes more complex if there is no consensus on either Lot True or Lot False. In the unlikely event that the activation period expires and one segment of the network runs Lot True clients while another segment runs Lot False clients, it comes down to the support for each option. We will ignore a third but important segment for now, users that run neither Lot True nor Lot False. More on this group in a bit. The first thing to note is that if any majority of miners by hash power signals support and uses Lot True, Taproot is guaranteed to upgrade. These miners would, by the end of the activation period, start rejecting blocks that don't signal readiness. And since they would produce a longer blockchain than the minority of non-signaling miners, and because both lot true and lot false clients would accept this chain as valid, everyone would accept this Taproot signaling blockchain and activate the upgrade. In other words, the hash rate power activation threshold would in the last weeks effectively drop from 90% to 51%. But if less than half of all miners use lot true and the signaling period expires, the Bitcoin blockchain could split between lot true and lot false clients. Lot true nodes would only accept signaling blocks, even if non-signaling blocks make a longer blockchain. They would essentially be on their own lot true chain. Lot false nodes, meanwhile, would reject the lot true chain in favor of the longer lot false chain. The result would be a blockchain fork, and ultimately perhaps two different blockchains, each with their own transaction history and essentially their own coins, potentially with their own exchange rates, a coin split. Users of either blockchain might consider their own version the real Bitcoin. Barring further protocol changes on the lot false chain, however, the lot true chain would in this case have a strong game theoretic advantage. Lot true nodes and miners would never accept the lot false chain, no matter how much longer it were to become. In a, quote, worst case scenario, it would remain a minority coin. Lot false nodes, in contrast, would accept the lot true chain if it ever became the longer chain. They'd then abandon their own, quote, lot false chain and lose any coins they received or mined on it since the split. In short, lot false nodes and miners would risk losing money. Therefore, they'd have a strong incentive to just join the lot true chain before this can happen, especially since they presumably don't object to the Taproot upgrade itself. The incentive to join the lot true chain would be particularly strong if most users prefer the lot true chain, or more accurately, if this chain would have the, quote, economic majority. If most of the Bitcoin economy prefers to accept and hold coins on a hypothetical lot true chain, these coins should demand a higher price and more transaction fees, which would draw in the most miners. This would in turn ensure that the lot true chain becomes the longest, and therefore the only chain. Here's the rub. The incentive to join the lot true chain before a potential split to be on the, quote, safe side would only have an effect if users and miners are aware of what's going on to begin with. Anyone who assumed that lot false would be the upgrade mechanism and therefore didn't switch could still lose money if and when a split occurs and the lot false chain is abandoned afterwards. The same is true for the third segment of users, the segment we ignored so far, but is actually important to take into consideration. Users that run neither lot true nor lot false. These could, for example, be users that, for whatever reason, don't keep up with Bitcoin's upgrade process at all. Like lot false users in this scenario, these unsuspecting users could lose money, arguably through no fault of their own. Lot false proponents argue that lot true essentially forces other users to upgrade, which they consider undesirable, if not downright unethical. Lot false proponents therefore believe lot true should only be used as a last resort if a miner activated soft fork fails. Lot true proponents counter this by positing that the best way to avoid such damage is to deploy lot true in a Bitcoin Core release. They believe some segment of users will run a lot true client even if it's not included in Bitcoin Core. And while this may be a small group, it might be big enough to cause a chain split, and the outcome could be ugly. Implementing lot true in Bitcoin Core would therefore be safer, they argue. Since it's the most widely used Bitcoin implementation on the network, a Bitcoin Core release with lot true would likely guarantee that the economic majority uses Lot True, ensuring that incentives for miners to activate Taproot would be too strong to ignore, minimizing the risk of a coin split scenario. So what will actually happen? It's impossible to predict how the discussion around Lot True and Lot False will resolve, if it will resolve at all. As a general principle, the Bitcoin Core development process is guided by rough consensus. Contentious code shouldn't make it into a new release. This is, of course, very true for protocol upgrades like Taproot, but it is probably equally true for code that activates protocol upgrades. While there appears to be rough consensus for Taproot itself, so far there is no rough consensus for an upgrade mechanism. Perhaps consensus eventually settles on either Lot True or Lot False, or perhaps some other solution, like a configurable option for users to choose between the two. But as long as no rough consensus emerges for either, it's possible that neither option will be included in Bitcoin Core. The Taproot upgrade would effectively be put on hold, at least temporarily. Another possibility is that consensus emerges to include Lot False in Bitcoin Core after all, but only because Lot True proponents independently release an alternative client with Lot True. This would resemble how SegWit was activated, with a BIP 148 client serving as the equivalent of a Lot True client. This would, however, open the door to some of the coin split risks described in this article. It's also possible, but probably less likely, that neither Lot True or Lot False is adopted by Bitcoin Core, but either or both options are included in alternative clients. If enough users switch to such alternative clients, even if there are Lot False clients, Taproot could activate without Bitcoin Core's involvement. Bitcoin Core could then release a Taproot-compatible version of its software once the rest of the network has upgraded. This is similar to how some alternative Bitcoin clients, like LeBitcoin, have historically adopted protocol upgrades. Or perhaps a new possibility will present itself. Author's note: some of the arguments and scenarios described in the article are simplified for the sake of readability. In the event of a chain split, more factors could affect the outcome, while a lack of consensus on Lot True or Lot False could also result in smaller, but still harmful, disturbances than the ones described. To keep up with the Taproot activation process, the Bitcoin Dev mailing list and the hashtag Taproot-activation channel on Freenode IRC are currently the most relevant discussion channels. By Aaron Von Wertham. Another great breakdown. I really depend on Aaron Von Wertham a lot for like breaking these down for the average Bitcoiner and reader. And I keep up with, you know, Bitcoin OpTech, which is another wonderful resource for this sort of thing. And I highly encourage you to read all of Aaron Von Wertham's stuff. He does such a good job of breaking down the technical stuff, and we've done, shit, I don't know, 15 of his pieces on the show. We have a big list of Aaron Von Wertham articles. Definitely check out some of the other stuff that he's done. He's had a great breakdown of SegWit and the whole history there. The history of P2SH, another major soft fork that kind of had some contentious issues going on, and how that was resolved. He has a great piece on Taproot, breaking down what that is exactly for everybody who doesn't know. I'll have that linked in the show notes so you can check it out. Let's take a quick break real fast, and then I kind of want to give my version on this. I'll tell you whether or not I want Lot True or Lot False, and we'll get into it a little bit before we close this one out. Real fast, let's hit our sponsor, and we'll come right back. The economy will have to shift to a better, more reliable monetary foundation in order to get us out of this extraordinary mess. Why not get a head start and switch to your own Bitcoin standard with Level.co LVL Bitcoin mobile banking services? They are a free exchange with direct deposit, wire and ACH transfers, checks, and debit card. And that's in the free version. For just $9 a month, you get even more, a world debit card, personal banker to chat with, and even more benefits. They are in 28 states right now, and you can check out if you are one of the lucky mofos living in one at guyswan.com/level. And they are planning to make their way to the rest of the U.S., except New York, by the end of this year, so stay tuned. That is level.co mobile banking services at guyswan.com/level. Why are you wasting time? Start living in a Bitcoin-denominated future today. So, per usual, Aaron Von Wertheim gives us a really great breakdown of what's going on here. And the nutshell version is that the issue with Taproot activation right now is not whether or not to turn it on. Like, it's not whether or not to flip the light switch, Taproot, in this instance. It's about how and when to turn it on. So, preferably, we would love to have everyone on the network turn it on at exactly the same time, and then none of this would be an issue. But obviously, distributed decentralized consensus is not that easy. So here we are. Lot true or lot false? And again, lot stands for lock in on timeout. So it means, are we all just going to automatically flip our switches on when the timeout, the year, runs up? Or are we going to leave our switches off when the time runs out? Now, having gone through the user-activated soft fork era and the block size wars, and as a UASF node runner, I definitely tend to come down on the hashtag reckless true or die side of things from a general standpoint. The users want the upgrade. There's clearly consensus on the upgrade. After properly activating the upgrade, it's not putting anybody else at risk. So post the soft fork being activated, the only concern then is that there is a bug or some crazy issue in the code, except it only affects the people who choose to use Taproot. So why beat around the bush? We already know there's broad, minor, and user consensus. Let's lock it in. A year is also a lot of time to squeal, uninstall, install something else, change a flag and signaling, and make a big stink about it if it looks like the conclusion to the timeout period isn't going to be a smooth one. Now, that's just my default. It's not technically what I'm recommending here. It's just what, if it were up to me and the way we did this in the past, that just seems like the proper game theory way to move forward. That said, I think the real three major concerns, above all the other little nitpicks and arguments in this piece, are one, that I don't think it should look like the core devs are just deciding an upgrade on the network. I do agree that that is a concern, and we should attempt to avoid that. Lot true in a new Bitcoin Core release would not actually be doing that. It would not be forcing people to install it, and it would not be forcing the network upgrade on anybody, but it would appear that way to a lot of people, no pun intended. So I think that's a concern. Another concern, the nodes and users that don't upgrade. The whole point of a soft fork and the Lindy effect of Bitcoin itself, the reason why we trust its consensus and we trust its security, is based on the fact that if you do nothing, you are safe. This should be the top priority. And in defense of number three, we don't want a fork. Even at the cost of never having Taproot, we don't want a fork. And I genuinely think, with those considerations, I don't think we should have Bitcoin Core be the client that signals anything. Not until there appears to be solid consensus from the rest of the network should, I think, the Bitcoin Core client upgrade to a lot true or lot false client. It should be done as a reaction to what the users and network choose independently, whether that be in a explicit choice to pick true or false, or a completely separate client, or something like that. The second, I think, which is a really, really important consideration, is to prevent a split in the lot true community. That's something that Aaron talks about in this piece, and you can see a lot in the conversations and stuff, is that one of the issues here is that there will inevitably be a subset of the community, even if a lot false client is released, that will still do lot true. There is very likely going to be a subset of the community that picks lot true and a subset that runs potentially their own client if lot false gets chosen. And that could lead to a secondary argument, a splitting of the very users who actually do want to do lot true, whether or not we would do lot true within the one year time period, or if we would do lot true in the second time period following the first year lockout or first year timeout expiring. And I genuinely think that would lead to a bigger headache because there could genuinely be users or miners that are both signaling lot true and don't realize they're signaling different lot trues. Even though I think we can expect a lot of the node runners and the miners to at least have some idea of what's going on, to understand all of the little nuances, I think, is probably too far. And again, it's important to keep in mind, this is all regarding the fail-safe method. So I actually think we will see activation incredibly quickly, and the lot true or false aspect will not actually even come into play. There is broad support. Miners have already demonstrated this. Users have too. The code's been reviewed and tested at great length. This has been going on for years. And again, it does not put any old users at risk to run this code on the network. So this is all a question about how and when to turn it on. Now, I don't know if this is too much of an added complication, and because there isn't such a forceful push, this isn't such a public and contentious or widespread debate going on. You know, this isn't the scaling wars, right? This isn't the block size debate. Nobody's thinking, oh, I must run a node immediately to defend the network from an attacker, which is very much the perception and drive that was going on during 2017. So because of that, maybe there isn't enough push for this to actually work. But my thoughts, I really prefer a separate client. You know, I want to avoid, like I said, I want to avoid the perception that Core is making this choice for the network or for the users. And I am fine with maybe a few devs making their own client, which is just a copy paste of whatever the next Core release is, and call it Bitcoin Taproot. And maybe, you know, there's just a bar across the top that has a Taproot activation switch for true or false. It allows you to signal with your node or miner whether you are lot true or lot false, displays how many blocks in the last 2016, the 2-week period, how many have signaled for lot true or lot false, or just Taproot in general. I don't think it should show nodes, how many nodes are signaling for it. If somebody wants to go to a Block Explorer or some other website or something that aggregates that data, sure they can, but you know, that's Sybil attack vulnerable or whatever. So I don't think that matters. I think the key element here is how many blocks are signaling, but that it should just allow the client to decide for itself whether they will reject non-upgraded blocks at the end of the year or not. And then there's a countdown for how much longer they have left to decide. Clearly, this still comes with a lot of risk. All of it does. But it means that we could turn it off quickly in the case of some crazy disaster or really dangerous signaling threshold, like 45% or something right in the middle that just makes it the worst case scenario. But if we're at a year and we have 89% blocks, everyone can just turn it on and be done with it. I really liked that the BIP-148 client was not released by Core. So this was in the heat of the scaling wars, right? So even though big blockers will still endlessly claim Core hijacked the network, or Blockstream, I can't remember exactly what the narrative is, they have to do so by claiming that every single UASF node runner was, I guess, a robot or infested with nanobots and unable to make their own decisions, and Blockstream somehow forced them to install an entirely separate client on their computers. They basically have to argue that even though a large subset of people disagreed with them, and explicitly so, that they went to a completely different location and downloaded a client that both Blockstream and the overwhelming majority of the dev community said don't install and don't use, understand neither actually supported the UASF client until at the very end, when it was clear that it was now less dangerous to support the UASF client than it was to actually go against it or not install it. Again, they only ever supported the least risky outcome. And I think that's a really good defense against the perception that anyone is forcing anything to happen on the network. And big blockers can still make that claim all day long, but basically it's reliant on the silly notion that, sure, a lot of people agreed and would even go and download a completely separate client in support of that disagreement, but that it wasn't real consensus because it wasn't their opinion that they supported. But there's no contention here. None of this battle is here regarding Taproot. I think we just really kind of have some PTSD about the whole situation. And when we are dealing with this much money and a system and network that people are so deeply attached to and is so important for so many of us, and so much riding on the line, even the tiniest of choices can end up with pretty serious arguments. And this is a good thing, right? This is great. We don't want to treat this thing carelessly. I mean, we're not Ethereum, for crying out loud. And the worst case scenario here is a permanent fork with a minority Lot True chain. If Lot True is activated, but it's only activated on like 40% of the miners and nodes or whatever it is, and they reject Lot False blocks or any other just non-signaling blocks, then there will be a split with two coins. And as Aaron suggested, they would both fight for which one had the quote-unquote real Bitcoin label. In my opinion, this is not a concern. This is not going to happen. I think we need to trust the miners and the node operators in making this decision. I love Taproot. It's a big efficiency boost. It's great for privacy within like a smart contract or a transaction or multisig. It's great for lightning. It enables future improvements that are really important, I think. And I really think we should activate it. I would also run personally a Lot True client and want to stay very much on top of it in case Lot True ended up being the riskier scenario towards the end of the year-long period. But that said, I would never split off onto a minority chain for it and argue with whether Taproot Bitcoin or non-Taproot Bitcoin is the real one. I will just cut my node off. Taproot is not a ride or die issue. It's a good to have, not a need to have. So this isn't a different vision for what Bitcoin is. This isn't me trying to protect or being able to verify my own money in the future. This is just fun extras and added efficiency. I don't see any support here for a permanent split over Taproot. If a fork does happen, it will consolidate one way or the other. We are not going to split up into two communities attacking each other over whether or not we want a Taproot next year or right now. Again, this debate is about when we flip the switch, not if. So if somebody cuts it on, it's extremely likely everyone will just rush into their room and cut the same switch on. They'll just jump on the ship. But whoever does, I don't think it should be Bitcoin Core. I think they should accept Taproot if it activates via the 90% threshold and do nothing but follow the longest chain and validate Taproot blocks if they show up otherwise. Maybe they have the next release and they've got a, you know, true false button or something like that. I still would prefer a separate client, but maybe because there's not quite the pressure there that getting people to go out and download a new client, you know, there's still risk to that as well. But I guess in a general sense, I am not willing to damage Bitcoin. Will be fine if we don't have Taproot. That's a major thing to remember. Bitcoin will be fine without Taproot. But we want it, and this is not contentious. Maybe we just let node runners and miners click a button. It says one way or the other. And then if after, you know, 5 or 6 months, we have Lot True at 70%, tons of nodes, most of the miners, Bitcoin Core finally comes down on one side or the other. But I think they should wait and see, and maybe we don't even have Bitcoin Core involved. Maybe we have our own client. But I don't know. That's just kind of my perspective on it. Maybe it's a little naive. Maybe I'm still, you know, missing some of the major pieces of the puzzle. But it seems right to just let the node operators pick and quickly change between one or the other and have the information necessary to see whether or not it's risky to do one or the other. I don't know. Let me know what you think. I think I'm gonna, I'll post this with a poll and on Twitter and just let it run for a week or so and see if there's any relative consensus on Twitter about what the best path might be. And leave me a comment or shoot me a DM. Do you think that having a quick way to switch back and forth is a good thing? Does this lead to even more problems or an attack vector where a bunch of people can signal Lot True and then at last second turn it off or whatever? Should you have to pick which client to download, specifically Lot True or Lot False client? Maybe it's a choice that, you know, within 2016 blocks of the timeout, it's permanent unless you uninstall and reinstall. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Let me know your thoughts. Share this out with everyone you know, everyone who runs a node. Take the poll. Share that out as well. Tag my node, Umbral, all the node builders and client devs and anybody you know to see if somebody wants to make a release or propose a client or something like that and get their input on the poll too. I know Twitter isn't the whole Bitcoin verse, but it might be a good litmus test for how we should move forward. So we will get to our Bitcoin resource of the day, but really quick, a huge thank you to my patrons for supporting Bitcoin Audible and Bitcoin Magazine and Aaron Von Wertham for this and all of their brilliant articles, really. And our sponsors, the Bitbox O2 hardware wallet to keep your keys safe in cold storage in a hardware vault. We got Level.co, LVL.co. Mobile banking services that integrate your fiat and Bitcoin banking life. And then, of course, Swan Bitcoin for your automatic, no-hassle Bitcoin savings plan. You can find all of these at guyswan2ns.com and let them know that you appreciate that they're supporting the podcast and making Bitcoin Audible available. Our Bitcoin resource for today is mempool.space. That's short for memory pool. So mempool.space. I love this block explorer. I go to it all the time to check on fees. I watch for it when it might be a good time to consolidate or need to look up some blocks or just want to nerd out and dig through the Bitcoin time chain. So don't forget to check out mempool.space if you don't use it. And also check out yesterday's resource if you're looking for a job in Bitcoin, bitcoinerjobs.co. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. This is Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan. And until next time, everybody, take it easy. This has been a 111 production, and you were listening to Bitcoin Audible on the Let's Talk Bitcoin Network.